Proverbs chapter 21. You can look around tonight. We have several families out of town, gone for this weekend. Many of them, of course, planned their trip away from last weekend, and I sure appreciate that. I know some that actually moved their vacation and made some other plans because of last Sunday, and I sure appreciate that. I'm glad they have a chance to be away. But I appreciate you being here this evening. Let's stand together, please. One verse at the beginning of chapter number 21, and that is verse number 3. This is a continuation, if you will, if you were in my Sunday school class this morning, a rehashing of that lesson with it added to a little bit. But this has just been on my heart and mind since last Sunday, and I want to bring it to you. And we'll just read one verse, then we'll have a song and get into it. Verse 3, the wise man wrote here in this verse, "To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." That's quite a verse. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Dear Father, please meet with us now in power for a few minutes as we look into your book. It is a wonderful book. It does change lives, as the song says that the choir is working on now. Thank you, God, that your word changes lives. Thank you that it changed us, and it's still hopefully changing us. May it help us tonight to be better prepared to live for you. Bless the song singers and message, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, BC. Church that wants to avoid going down the slippery road of compromise in the area of music. Amen. And avoiding the contemporary sound, hopefully, all the way through. Wonderful singing tonight. Beautiful harmony. Good sing. Good words. Wonderful song. All right. A couple of weeks ago, I brought a message on a Sunday morning entitled The Greater Good out of Luke chapter 10, where Jesus told the disciples, I'd rather you not rejoice in what you're doing for me as much as you rejoice in what I've done for you. That's when he said, you know, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That's the greater good. It's a good thing to do something for God, but it sure is greater what God has done for us. Amen. Now I want to speak tonight again on the greater good, part number two. And just as I find these things in the scripture, we'll be back to this topic or this title again and again. The greater good, part two. And let's pray. Dear Father, thank you that you care for us. Thank you that Jesus cares for us, that the Holy Spirit cares for us, that the great triune God has compassion and care for his people. Poor people we are, dear Lord. Pitiful people, we need help. I'm glad that you remember that we're dust and you know our frame and you're there to care for us and help us. Lord, bless the message tonight. Make it an encouragement to hearts in this room, I pray. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. How does the sound sound tonight? Amen. Is the sound all right? Too loud? Too loud? Is it overpowering anywhere? It's too loud? Brother Greg, I don't know if it's still too hot. Maybe we're adjusting this. This is new. This is new. And just bear with us for a little bit as we work on it. Now, it still sounds hot to me. Does it sound hot to you? It might be the monitors. I don't know, but if you could help us. The Proverbs of King Solomon were written so that young people, represented by his son Rehoboam, could receive instruction for wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. I can show you that in chapter number one. It's all in those first 8 or 9 verses there in that chapter. Written so that young people, the simple, and that doesn't have anything to do with their intellectual capabilities, has nothing to do with their ability to learn, has nothing to do with being a slow learner. It's talking about young people, the people in the age group that we call teenagers, okay, who aren't adults yet. They're no longer children, and they're not yet adults. Written for the simple to learn wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. So many of the wise sayings in this book teach us concerning justice and judgment. Okay, you find that over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs here. Now, let me give you a couple definitions tonight. Let me talk just a minute about the word justice. It's a very simple meaning. Simply put, it means to be right. Well, I'm getting an overpowering echo here. Are y'all getting that out there? It sounds awful loud. We just need to turn the volume down. Just take the volume down, Brother Greg. Simply put, it means to be right. That's what justice means. And the word judgment. Judgment has to do with governing properly. Judgment has to do with discernment, being able to discern between right and wrong, and not so much me governing Brother Jason or Brother Jason governing Brother Don, but me governing myself, discerning what is right and wrong and having the self-discipline to do that which is right and avoid that which is wrong. So it's very simple meanings here. Boil it down, friend. Justice and judgment have to do with being right and doing right. Being right and doing right. Now, much of what we read in the Bible teaches us concerning those two matters. Being right and doing right. Being right and doing right. And I'm not so much talking about the big things. I'm talking about being right and doing right has to do with our day-to-day walk, our condition before God. Remember the difference between the words position and condition. A position in Christ. That's what I am. My position is in Jesus Christ. If you're saved, your position is in Jesus Christ. And being positioned in Christ, we have eternal life. Being positioned in Christ, we're just as if we'd never sinned. Being positioned in Christ, we are robed with His righteousness. And when God looks at us, He doesn't see a wicked old sinner, Terry Angel. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what it means by being positioned in Christ. But now, my condition is different than my position. My position is immutable. It's unchanging. It never varies. But my condition varies on a day-to-day basis. The condition of my relationship with Christ, my obedience to Him, or the lack thereof. That's what I'm talking about, okay? So being and doing right has to do with our day-to-day walk, our condition before God, justice and judgment, being right and doing right. Now, when I say the word sacrifice carries a different meaning altogether in my mind and your mind than the business of being right and doing right. Sacrifice brings thoughts of doing something big, doing something special for the Lord, doing something beyond the ordinary, going outside the box a little bit, if you will, for the Lord. That's what we think of when we think of sacrifice. When we think of sacrifice, we think of something that does not happen regularly, but occasionally. Sacrifice is not something we would do day to day, maybe once a year, or maybe two times a year, or maybe three or four times a year, or maybe it's so big that we sacrifice once or twice every 2 years. So there's a difference. Sacrifice carries with it doing something big or special for the Lord, something that really makes a big impact in our way of thinking. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were to be brought to the Lord. They went out to their herds and their flocks and their crops and their increase, and they brought and they sacrificed to the Lord. And they brought the sacrifices to the Lord. And that was a big deal in the Old Testament. Now, let me say this tonight. On one hand, you've got judgment and justice. You've got being right and doing right. On the other hand, you've got sacrifice. The two are different. That's what he says here in verse number 3. To do justice and judgment, to be right and do right, okay, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So you've got two different matters here. You've got the day-to-day being right and doing right, and then you've got that special, occasional, every now and again matter of sacrifice. You've got the two here. Now, let me say this. Certainly God does not frown on sacrifice. And there are times when sacrifice is right, and there are times when sacrifice is needful, and God blesses it. I'm talking about doing something for God in the way of sacrifice, bringing something to God in the way of sacrifice. God does bless that, and there are occasions for it. We're about to enter into one here in this building program, and it's picking up steam. It really is. I feel more relaxed about it. I feel more at ease about it now. For a while, I was uneasy, and I was just kind of waiting on God for the timing of it. And put it off a little bit. But now I think the timing is right. And I'm excited about it. And we even sat down the other day, and Brother Jason and I, and put some numbers on paper and put a pencil to the paper. And what are we going to have? And what do we need to do here? And it's going to involve some sacrifice. Just like this building involves some sacrifice. And God does not frown on sacrifice. God blesses that. But hear me very carefully. Our verse says that the being and doing of right, the simple life of obedience, day after day after day after day after day, is more acceptable to God than the sacrifice. That day-to-day walk with God. In other words, I need to be careful not to substitute sacrifice for the being and doing of right. I'm talking about my personal walk and condition before God, my relationship with Him on a day-to-day basis. I must never substitute sacrifice for the importance of doing justice and judgment. You see, friend, I'm still thankful for all the acts of selflessness and sacrifice that went into last Sunday. And the truth of the matter is, went into the whole fall program. I tell you what, it was one of the best fall programs our church has ever experienced. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. And every week it just got a little better and a little better. It started out rather slow at about 680 or 690 something. And then the attendance went to 740 something. And then it went to 792. And then it went to 816. And then the 1184 of last Sunday. And the visitors came every Sunday. And the altar was busy. And the waters were stirred. And it did exactly what it was supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate the selflessness and the sacrifice that went into that. I mean that with all of my heart. I appreciate it. I heard good stories last week about people who visited and called and did things and got people. And some of you tried and the people didn't come. I understand that. And I do appreciate it. And I hope the Lord was pleased. It was sure a fun day for us. Amen. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I hope the Lord was pleased. But I know this. I know God is pleased. Yes, more pleased with His people being and doing right in their daily walk than with acts of sacrifice. I know that because of what the Bible teaches. He said to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord. Young man, listen, are you listening? That's what he's saying to his son. To do justice and judgment is more. To be right and do right. Day by day by day by day by day. Keep your heart right before God and just walk with God and love God and be obedient. To do right and be right is more acceptable to God than great big acts of sacrifice. Great big acts of sacrifice. I know the Lord is pleased in that. Pleased with the day-to-day justice and judgment. A dad would come home from work at the same time every day, like clockwork. He had that kind of a job. And he had a little girl. And he looked forward to getting home so much. Because when he got home, the little girl would meet him at the front door. And daddy, daddy, you know how they are, those of you that have little children. Daddy, daddy, and so glad to see you. And the little girl would meet her daddy there. And he would quick run and change his clothes before supper. And he would take the little girl, and they would go out for just a casual walk through the neighborhood. And maybe 15 minutes or even less. But just he and her. And she would tell him all about the day. And he would talk to her. And they would fellowship together. And they did that day after day after day after day after day. For months and months and months. And he looked forward to it every evening when he got home from work. One day he got home from work and there was no little girl at the door. And he went in. He didn't want to berate her or anything because she'd been so faithful to be there day after day after day. And kind of looked around and heard her back in her room. And then at the supper time, you know, there she was. She had the same happiness. She was the same expressions of happiness and joy and just a happy little girl. And he didn't say much. And they had supper and they went on through their evening. The next night when he got home from work, she wasn't there. And that went on for a solid week. He came home from work 6 or 7 times and she wasn't at the door. And boy, it really broke. It made him sad. He missed it so badly. And then one time he came home from work. And after those 5, 6, or 7 days of her not being there, there she was at the door. And smiling big, Daddy, Daddy. And she had her little hands behind her back like this. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, I have something for you. I have something for you. And I made them all myself. Nobody helped me. And I made them all. And he said, what have you got, honey? And she pulled out these little, crude, homemade pair of slippers. And she said, I got the scissors and I got the needle. Mommy showed me the needle and thread and I put these together for you, Daddy, and I made them all by myself. And soon, and of course, he realized what she'd been doing those evenings when he come home from work and she wasn't at the door. She was in her room making those slippers. And boy, he gave her a great big hug and he tried them on and bragged on them and talked about them. And then they went, you know, and they went to the supper table. And after supper, he pulled her aside and he said, I love my slippers. Thank you so much. He said, tell you what, do. Next time, and boy, it means so much that you want to do something for me. He said, tell you what, next time when you want to do something for Daddy, you ask Mommy to ask Daddy for a few extra dollars. And I'll give you a little money and you can run to the store and buy Daddy something and get it just that quick so we can keep going on our walks together. Because I sure did miss those walks. You see, the slippers were sacrifice. But that time spent together, that daily walk, was what that daddy loved. Are you with me tonight? Amen? You see, and that's what I'm talking about, friend. That's exactly what he's saying here. He's saying to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I'm for sacrifice, friend. I think we're all called on to do it from time to time. But I'm going to tell you something. I think it pleases God. But what pleases God more, what's more acceptable to God is just every day being right and doing right and obeying Him and being in good fellowship. And Lord, it's good to talk to you this morning and directing my prayer to you and looking up and I need you today and I'm glad you saved me. I think that's what the Lord's heart takes great pleasure in. Amen. More so than even sacrifice. You got a Bible? Let's use it for a moment. Let me give you 3 or 4 things quickly tonight. Number one, look at Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Now, we'll give you a minute to find it. Amen. It's one of the minor prophets over there in the end of the... You got to go to... You find Jonah and keep turning to your right, and you're going to find Micah. Micah chapter 6. Here's point number one on this matter of being and doing right as opposed to sacrifice. Find Micah chapter 6 and listen carefully. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. Look at verse number 6 here. Wherewith, Micah wrote, verse number 6 of chapter 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Friend, let me tell you something. I think verse number 7 is talking about sacrifice. 10,000 with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So how can I please you, God? What kind of sacrifice can I bring to you? How big does it need to be? Just tell me. I'll sacrifice even my firstborn if it means I can please you. Look what God answered in verse number 8. I love this verse. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I said, major in right, minor in sacrifice. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. Several of you folks have been to college. And when you go to college as a freshman, you go through the line for your classes last. The seniors go through and they get the classes they need to graduate. And then the juniors go through. And then the sophomores and the freshmen, you're left to take freshman classes and you're left with what's left. And when you go to college, you decide on a major. I'm going to major in this. At Bible college, they'll have pastoral theology. They'll have missions. They'll have primary education, elementary education, secondary education. And you state a major. Now, with all of those majors, there go classes that are required to take. If you're going to graduate with a pastoral theology degree, you've got to have this class. If you're going to graduate with a secondary education degree, you've got to have this class. If you're going to graduate with missions, you've got to have these classes. If you don't take these classes, you can't get your degree. They are courses that are required. Amen? They're part of the major. And then about sophomore year, you're going to see, in the second semester, you're going to see an elective. And then the junior year, in this fall of the year, you're going to see a couple of electives. And the same thing with the junior second semester. And the same thing with the senior first and second semester. Electives are classes. Here's a great big list of classes. And you just elect which one you want. It doesn't matter. Any of these classes will do. If you miss some of these, it won't hurt your degree. If you miss some of these, you'll still get your diploma. You've got to have a few of them, but just take your pick. Some courses are required. Others are electives. And I say to us tonight, friend, let me tell you what God takes great pleasure in. God takes great pleasure in the being and doing of right. More so than some sacrifice. So it makes wise for me and you to major in right and minor in sacrifice. I said earlier, there will be times to sacrifice, to do something special for God, to do something out of the ordinary for God. And we should not hesitate to step up. We should not hesitate to step up to the plate at times of sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you something, the church, we can never assume that those times of sacrifice are more important to God than the daily matters of being and doing right. I'm going to tell you, you know what pleases God? Your devotion life pleases Him. Reading your Bible and praying. You say, Pastor, nobody ever sees that. God sees it. And that's the one that matters. And God takes far more pleasure. Listen, God, and I'm not saying that the hours of visitation and the sacrificial giving and the sacrificing of time and the, just like these people, the changing of their plans to be at a church function like this big day. I'm not saying that God's flippant about that. I think God's very interested in that. But I will tell you what. I think God is more interested, according to Scripture, I think God is more interested in the time you'll take tomorrow morning when you sit down and read your Bible for a few minutes. And God's more interested in the time you'll spend saying a few words in prayer to God tomorrow morning, lifting your voice to God in prayer and praying. I'm telling you, it's the ordinary, day-to-day, simple acts of obedience that please God the most. Major in that.
minor in the sacrifice. We have another big day. Amen. Jump in. Be a part. Give and work and visit and plan like you did last Sunday. But that only happens once or twice a year or once every 2 or 3 years. But that business of walking with God and talking to Him and reading my Bible and being a good Christian, that's major in that. Major in that. That's what pleases God the most. Passing out a tract 2 or 3 times a week. Week after 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 week. I mean, that kind of habitual obedience brings more pleasure to God. I'm not discouraging this, but I'll tell you, friend, that brings more pleasure to God than staying out 10 hours on a Saturday. I'm for staying out for the time, and I appreciate the time some of you fellas put in. God bless you. And I think it showed up on Sunday, don't you? Amen. That showed up. But I want to tell you something, friend. We can never assume that, man, that's what counts. That 8 hours that I spent out, that 9 hours that I spent out, that's what really impresses God. I'm going to tell you what really impresses God. Oh, He's happy with that. I'm going to tell you what really impresses God. Here, take this and read this. It'll tell you how to go to heaven. Just 2 or 3 times a week. You say, nobody ever sees that. I know God sees it. And that's what makes Him happy. And that's what pleases Him. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. When it's time to sacrifice, amen, I'm all for it. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's give. Let's pray. Let's work. Let's visit. But those times are only just ever so often. Let's major in the doing of right. That's what's required. God said, what I want you to do is to love people and to do right and to walk with me. That's what I require of you. You're not going to get a diploma if you don't walk with God. Amen. That's what He said. You're not going to get that. That's the requirement. That's part of the requirement. Walk with me and talk with me, and that pleases me far more than making me a pair of slippers. Amen. Sure. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let me give you a second thought tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. By the way, friend, this may not be a chandelier swinging, shouting preaching, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't get much more nuts and bolts than this in your life. I'm talking about you want to please God. This is the way to do it. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. We don't have time to read all the verses in this chapter that it would take to read to get the whole story. But those of you who are familiar with the Bible, you know it. Those of you less familiar, listen, let me give it to you in a nutshell. The children of Israel were coming through the wilderness, and they hit on hard times. And God gave them water out of a rock. And they celebrated and said, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. And the Amalekites came and fought with them. And they killed the sick and the weak and the young, the old and the poor. And they just treated God's people horribly. And God told Moses, I'll never forget that. And one of these days, I will exact vengeance on that crowd. Now understand, friend, this is Old Testament days. We don't live in these days today. But I will tell you this much. That's part of what the tribulation period is all about. Part of what the tribulation period is about is God's vengeance on a Christ-rejecting world. In a God-hating world. Because God gets His own vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And so He told Moses, He said, I'm going to make them pay someday. And years passed until Israel got their first king, Saul. And then God told Samuel, you go tell Saul, it's time for me to take care of business with the Amalekites. I want him to kill all of them. Don't spare anybody. And kill all their animals. Kill their young and their old. You say, that's harsh. That's Old Testament. That's Old Testament justice. That's Old Testament God's way of doing it in the Old Testament. I can't argue with it. God's always right. God's always good. He said, kill them all. Kill them all and kill all their animals. And so Saul said, okay. They went to battle with the Amalekites. And you know the story. Most of you know this. They're familiar with it. Saul King Agag, his contemporary, his peer, the king of the Amalekites. He told his men, said, I want you to bring Agag. Don't kill him. Bring him in. And then they said, oh, that sheep is nice. And that cow is nice. Get that sheep and get that cow and get that donkey and get that animal. And let's not kill them. And let's bring them back. And you know what? The Lord saw all that. And it grieved God. He said, Samuel, you need to go talk to Saul. He said, I'm done. Rejected. Why was he rejected, friend? He was rejected because he didn't do the simple matters of obedience. He said he's rejected. Boy, Samuel mourned. We talked about that Wednesday night. And he went and he came into the camp of Israel. And Saul came out. Hey, man, glory to God. Hallelujah, Samuel. Good to see you. Hey, man.
We're praised. We've done the commandment of God. Boy, God's given us a great victory. And Samuel said, what's all that sheep I hear? What's all those cows I hear? What are they doing here? He said, well, we spared the best of the sheep and the best of the donkeys and the best of the lambs. We saved them because we're gonna sacrifice them to God. Well, that sounds good, don't it? That sounds so spiritual. You know, we're gonna do this our way. Look what God said. Verse number 22. Verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The obvious answer to that question is no, because God answered it. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul disobeyed God's plain command to in order to sacrifice to God. Let me tell you number two tonight, it is never right to do wrong in order to sacrifice. It's never right to do wrong in order to sacrifice. You know what he did? He did wrong in order to do right. And that's never right. You with me, church? Amen. Sure. He did wrong in order to do right. And that's not right. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said that. I forget how he said it. But more important than Bob Jones Sr. saying it, God said it. Amen. And Brother Dr. Bob Jones Sr. says, never wrong to do right. Never right to do wrong to do right. That's what he said. Never right to do wrong to do right. Never. Never. And that's what Saul did. Oh, we're going to have these sacrifices, great big occasions, have these great big oblations and make a big victory thing to God. Well, because of the victory he gave us. I thought you were supposed to kill them all. Well, yeah, I know, but you know. He did wrong in order to do right, and that's never right. I'll tell you something. Simple obedience. Let me tell you, hey, is it right to support missions? You bet it's right to support missions. You bet it's right to give, to send the gospel around the world. That's our responsibility. We know that. Can't wait for the missions conference coming up February. It's always a great time. But I want to tell you something, friend. It's wrong. It's not right to steal the tithe money that belongs to the church and give it to missions. That's doing wrong in order to do right. And that's not pleasing to God. God doesn't accept that. Not at all. How about this one? It's not right to give sacrificially to God beyond the tithe if you owe it to the electric company. Well, amen, that's right. Well, I'm going to be a part of this great big offering at church, a grand offering. I'm going to give that $50 bill, but I can't pay the electric. I'm not going to pay the electric company. I'm not going to pay the light bill. I'm not going to pay the septic and the garbage. Wait a minute. If you've got to make a choice between sacrificing great big to God and being right with money you owe people, always choose to do right with money you owe people than a great, great big sacrifice to God. Amen. Sure. And I'm for sacrificially giving. Now, this thing didn't happen without people sacrificially giving. But I'm going to tell you something, church. You can't, it is never right to do wrong in order to do right. Simply do right. Just do right. The sacrifice will take care of itself. If you're just obedient, Dr. Bob Sr., my dad went there for about a year, maybe less. I don't think he even lasted a whole year. But he said Dr. Bob Sr. used to come to the pulpit in chapel and cup his hand around his mouth and do right. Do right. Do right till the stars fall, but do right. Amen. And brother, that's true. Do right. Our good intentions never substitute for the simple doing and being of right. Do you hear that? Good intentions never substitute for the simple doing and being of right. I remember years ago, there was a man here. And he loved to take care of big projects. Oh, my goodness. Church needed this. Well, he wanted to come in and provide the money. Do you have the money? Well, I'll take care of that. But check the weekly giving. And there was never any weekly giving. Inconsistent and irregular at the best. And most of the time, not at all. But if the church had a big need, here he came riding in on the white horse and going to plop the money down here, do this, and I'm glad to do it. Now, you know what? There are times when God's people need to sacrifice financially, take care of big projects. But I'm going to tell you what God takes more pleasure in.
God takes more pleasure putting that $40, $50, $60, $80, whatever that tenth is of your income, God takes more pleasure in the simple obedience of dropping it in that plate Sunday after Sunday after Sunday than he does riding in on the white horse and doing something big. Amen? That's exactly what he's teaching here. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. There are times to sacrifice. There are times to help in a big way. And you know what? If you do right daily, doing right and being right, and then you've got the means and the wherewithal to sacrifice beyond that, amen. God's work needs that. And God's work deserves that. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's the simple, simple, day in, day out acts of obedience that just make God so happy. Amen. If sacrificing is a substitute for doing right, it's not. I mean, just doing right and being right, he takes no delight in it. None whatsoever. You know what Saul would have been a lot better off doing? Saul would have been a lot better off killing all those animals. And then if he wanted to do something to praise God, going out to his own flocks and his own herds and getting his own animals and said, God, you're worthy of my sacrifice. But it was far more important to Saul just be obedient. You with me, church, on this thing? Huh? I'm talking about something that'll change your life, friend. Just the simple doing of right. Week in and week out. And it's not a matter of being super Christian. Not at all. Adam Ant. Remember Adam Ant? I was telling the kids about him the other day. Adam Ant. Man, when I was a kid, I had the great big old glass of man. Adam Ant. Am I right? Up at Adam Ant. That's right. Brother Gardner, amen. I know what you were doing on Saturday morning. Amen, huh? Yes, sir. Amen. Up at Adam Ant. We don't need any Adam Ant Christian. We don't need any superheroes. I tell you what God takes pleasure in, friend. Just a bunch of folks doing right, obedient, day in, day out, walking with God. When the time comes to sacrifice, God, I'm able, I'm willing, I want to. Here it is, amen. Something big for you. But God says, I appreciate that, but I take far more pleasure in that simple act of obedience. Week in and week out, just doing right. I like that. I like that. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. It is never right to do wrong in order to sacrifice. Number three, look over at Isaiah chapter 1. Let me read some verses to you here in this chapter. And then I want to say this. Never underestimate the importance of a clean heart. A clean heart, being right in your heart. Never underestimate the importance of that. Don't ever assume that huge acts of sacrifice substitute for a clean heart. Nothing pleases God more than a clean heart. Amen. Look at verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Did I say Isaiah 1? Is that where you are? Verse 10. Look at verse number 11. God's talking here. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? What purpose is in all this? Look at what he says. Boy, these are convicting words. I am full of the burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Wait a minute, isn't that what he told? What in the world? Isn't that what he told him to do? Why is he sick of it? Well, let's read on. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? He said, you're in here every day. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, back and forth. All these oblations, all these sacrifices, going beyond and above the call of duty, all these things you're bringing in, you're treading my courts. Who told you to do that? Look at verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Well, that's convicting words. Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. They weren't clean. Now look what he says, verse 16. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Friend, never underestimate the importance of a clean, right heart. I'm going to tell you, that's what pleases God, friend. That's what pleases God. No bus captain said, look what I had on my bus. Oh, bus captains were happy and pleased. It was, folks, it was such a wonderful day. There were 643 on the buses, 541 drive-in. What a good balance. Just such a wonderful day. Nobody took that attitude. There were bus captains that were thrilled and glory to God. But no bus, I'll tell you, fellas, to rejoice. Look what I had on my bus. Look what we had. And then have a dirty heart. I put 400 on that bus. If your heart's not clean, God's not pleased. I'm talking about the simple doing of right. Hey, and don't think temptation doesn't come. 3 weeks ago, I bet it was, maybe Pam would know better than I would. 3 weeks ago, in the fall program, I think it was 3 weeks ago, might have been four. I went home one day and got the mail, and here was an envelope from my car insurance company. Guide one. And it's not time for the car premium, insurance premium. So I don't know what in the world. Figure it's a rate increase, you know, or something. But, and I opened it up, it was a check for $200 to me. I said, this is a mistake. What do they send me to? Car insurance companies don't send you $200. No. They ask you for $800. Amen? They don't send you $200. So I went in the house. And thought, what in the world is this? So I called the number, and they got the lady on the phone. I said, there's a mistake. They sent me $200. I don't know what they sent it for. She said, that's for a claim. I said, maybe it's a refund. Maybe I overpaid. Ha ha. You know. So it's a refund. And I was thinking, man, this is great. Hunting season is here. I could see some new camo, amen. I could see a new something for the bow, amen. So what about your wife and children? I know that's important, but later, so, you know. And so anyway, I could see all that. And she said, no. She said, this is from a claim back in 2004. A lady hit you. And she had no insurance. And she's been making monthly payments, and you pay $200 on top of the deductible. You pay $200 out of pocket, and she's paying. And I can't believe it. I was done at Poor Boys. You ever eaten at Poor Boys? Oh, son, can I get a witness? Is that a good place? Amen. I'm telling you, brother, that is eaten. They make a pork tenderloin sandwich down there. You have to be careful not to get it in your forehead. Amen. Your tongue will slap your brains out trying to get to it. I mean, it's good. Amen. I mean, good stuff, brother. I was done. Hey, you go down there, there's five or six police cars in the parking lot. Now, what does that tell you? It's a place to eat. Amen. Want to know where you go into a strange town? Want to know where to eat? Look for the police cars, the fire trucks. Amen. Where do the policemen eat? There are four or five. Can't keep police cars there. I mean, in the parking lot. So I pulled in there. I don't know why. Maybe my wife was out of town. Maybe she didn't cook for a week. I don't know. I can't remember now. I don't remember. But so I had a pork tenderloin, and I was pulling out, getting, I was on Court Street there. Look both ways, nobody. And there's a currency exchange right next door to Poor Boys. And I pulled out. Here came a lady. As soon as I pulled out, here came a lady. I mean, she was trying to beat me and trying to get into the currency exchange. And bang, she hit the front side of my truck, and she went, and there's these concrete posts that separate Poor Boys from the currency exchange. And bless her heart, her car ended up on top of those, you know, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is bad. So anyway, I jumped out. You all right? Everybody's fine. Nobody's hurt. Here come the police. And I had insurance, but she didn't have any. So it was $250 deductible, and for some reason it was $200. And she said, yeah, she said, that's from that lady made monthly payments for all these years, and we got our money, so we sent you the money out of your pocket. I said, well, man, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. I don't even have to tithe on this. It's already been tithed on. Amen, this is wonderful. This is great, hallelujah, amen. And then it dawned on me. That's the vehicle the church takes care of. And the church made that payment for me. Amen. Nobody knows, man. My wife doesn't know. My kids don't know. Nobody at the church knows. Financial manager doesn't know. Amen. I know, just got to take the check to the bank, cash it, put it in the pocket, and leave it. I forgot, right? You say you didn't think like that. Oh. I wish I could tell you I didn't, but I did. I did. See, I'm like you. You're a bunch of crooks too. Amen. That's right. And then the Spirit of God said, you can't keep that money. That happened during the program. That happened before the big day. Listen, I was fasting regularly. We were meeting here for prayer meeting. We did on Wednesday morning. I was visiting extra. I was fasting for the big day and asking. I mean, going beyond a little bit, sacrificing a little bit for God's blessing. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'd have kept that money, all that sacrifice, you didn't do right. You didn't do right. That bad heart. So, buddy, I endorsed that check, turned it over to the office, and said, that's money that belongs to the church. Well, I sure slept good at night. I was unhappy for a while, but I slept good that night. Amen. And you'd have done the same thing, I think. I really believe most of you would. That's what I'm talking about, friend. Never underestimate the importance of just a clean heart before God. Well, now, how about that? Man, I fasted and did without food and prayed and stayed up at night. I appreciate all the acts of sacrifice. I will tell you something. If our hearts aren't clean, God said, don't bring me all that sacrifice. I'd rather you just quit doing evil. That's what he said. So never underestimate the importance of a clean heart, just being right before God. Now, I'll tell you this, church. If we major in being right and doing right, the sacrifice will take care of itself. Sure it will. If I'm bent on doing right and being right, doing justice and judgment and pleasing to God, when He says, son, it's time to sacrifice, no problem. Amen. No problem, Lord. God said, the doing and being of right is far more acceptable to me than great big acts of sacrifice. And you know what? That's encouraging, church. Because everybody can be right and do right. Not everybody can sacrifice to the same degree as others, I guess. We can all be right. We can all do right. You know what God does? He smiles. Look at my people. Doing right. Being right. Major in right, minor in sacrifice. Don't ever do wrong in order to sacrifice. And never underestimate the importance of a clean heart. That's the greater good. Is it good to sacrifice? Oh, yeah. But the greater good is to be and do right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Your Father, this is your book. It's your word. It's eternally true. If we could ever get truths like this, just get them deep down in our hearts, what a change would be in our lives. Lord, sanctify us tonight. Set us apart to the doing of right, being right, walking with you and being simply obedient. And then, Lord, when it's time to sacrifice, help us to have a willing spirit. But Lord, may we never substitute sacrifice for your simple obedience. Thank you, dear Father, for your book, what it teaches us. Speak to us tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder, did the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Did the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Did he? Is this matter of being right and doing right important to you, friend? Is this matter of a clean heart important to you? Oh, it is to God. So pleasing to him. Pastor, pray for me. Some point through the message tonight, God spoke to my heart. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? Amen, amen. All right, take them down. Anybody here unsaved, you're not sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand tonight, side to side, front to back? Anybody like that? Anybody need to be baptized in obedience to God's word? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Let's stand, church. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. It's the time. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, this is it. Let's get business with God done tonight. The simple doing of right. The obedience, the being right, the doing right. The good spirit, the clean heart. Oh, God takes great pleasure in that. More so than huge acts of sacrifice. Let's major on right, minor on sacrifice. Never do right, or do wrong, or do right.